Good morning, Holy Spirit. It is good that you are present in this place this morning. It's good to see you. Welcome to worship. Thanks for bringing the spirit of worship. You're wanted, you're needed, you're blessed by God. You're His children. Makes you the King's kids. The Lord loves His children. That's good to know, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, let's look at a few announcements. This week, Thursday the 9th, 10 o'clock, Bible study. Friday, June the 10th, 6 to 10, the Relay for Life at South Lenore. You still need volunteers, Joella? Okay. Just swamp Joella at the end of service. And great opportunity to serve for a great cause. Any questions you might have, I'm sure she can answer. Upcoming event, Sunday the 12th, is Senior Sunday. Going to have a cover dish supper. Our lunch, cover dish lunch. Do y'all want a good lunch? We'll bring some good food.
Yeah. Joe, yes. I just want to emphasize the fact that just exactly what you said. Bring some good, bring a dish. Okay, it's a cover dish.
All right. The 14th, Tuesday at 7 p.m., deacons will be meeting. Saturday, June the 18th, 10 to 12:30. Vacation Bible School. Melissa, you need some help?
I do.
All right. We've got another opportunity to serve. Okay. Father's Day is the 19th, Sunday, June the 19th, Monday the 20th. At 7 p.m. Ladies Auxiliary. Saturday the 25th at 6 p.m. is the Deep Run Independence Parade, and the 26th on Sunday at 5 p.m. the official board meeting. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, turn to hymn 209 and stand. You're our choir this morning, a call to worship. Our declaration, this is the day. Stand as we sing. 209. Show me some teeth. How about that? All right? Let's do that again.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is
bulletin. Let's read the scripture together, responsive reading. O God of the highest heaven, you are worthy to be praised with every breath, loved with every faculty of the soul, served with every act of life.
We were once dead in our sins, having no eyes to see you, no ears to hear you, no taste to relish your joys, no intelligence designed you.
But your Spirit has made us alive. You have brought us into a new world as new creatures. You have loved us, adopted us, and called us your own.
Let us lay aside every sin of this world. Help us to walk with you, that we may be salt of the earth and a blessing to all.
Amen. Father God, we're just so thankful this morning. We can come together and feel the presence of your Spirit and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we belong to you. Thanks for saving us and rescuing us from sin and putting a new spirit within us that's alive, that we can worship in spirit and in truth. That's our desire this morning, to worship you and know you in new ways we've never known. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 390, hymn 390. Sing the first, second, and fourth verse. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. 390. Scripture reading this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 104, verses 24 through 34. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and the Leviathan, which you form to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to God while I have been. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Our next reading is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in his name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with will be in you." The word of God for the people of God.
Morning, we continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember together as we pray? Okay. Okay. Okay.
The family of Donna Maxey and Delcy Jenkins.
Okay.
Pray for our country.
Any others? All right, let's remember to thank God for his blessings and certainly thank him for one another. So let's take action together as we pray this morning. Father God, I praise and worship you this morning. Thank you for this time we can come together to focus upon you, to forget about the cares and the concerns of this world, and to look to you and draw strength and hope and courage and all the things that we need to live the life you created us to live. We come to you this morning with boldness and confidence, lifting these needs to you, knowing that you have a perfect plan in place and you've already positioned people to to minister and to serve, to meet the needs of these we lift to you this morning. We thank you for that. We pray for health, for healing, for wholeness, for comfort, for all of those things that you provide because you love us. May my brothers and sisters in the faith throughout the world, especially those who are being persecuted as they seek to follow Christ and to go into the world and to make disciples, we pray your blessing and your protection upon them. We pray for our country, certainly our leadership, even the leadership of our world, Father. We know that it's a sinful world and sin causes chaos and confusion. And Father, we just need some godly wisdom imparted upon our leaders that we can pull together as a nation and a world to seek peace and to love and to serve one another. We need your help with that. We're just asking this morning, Lord. You've been mighty good to us, and we certainly want to thank you. You blessed us with everything that we need, and we have much more. And it's because of you, and because of your love and your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the church, and we pray for the churches throughout the world and its neighborhood, that they would grow strong spiritually and in number. The kingdom of God will be magnified. Jesus will be glorified. Lives will be saved. People's hearts strengthened, encouraged in the gospel of Christ. It's good to come in worship, and we feel your presence, and you're speaking to us as we read your word and as we give and serve. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just continue to ask you to bless us and move us in this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 384, hymn 384, verses 1 and 2. And let's stand together as we sing the Spirit song. ushers come as we worship, as we give. Father, you've given us everything that we need, and we certainly thank you for that. So we give because you give, and we ask you bless it, make strengthen and build your kingdom. Bless the giver as we give with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Our scripture this morning comes from Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Today we're wrapping up our series that we've been talking about, the resurrection and how it changes everything. And, you know, for the past 5 weeks, we've been looking at why the past doesn't mean what it used to mean. It has to do with the power of the resurrection and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the promise of God's mercy. Jesus came into the world and died on the cross for our sins so that through him we might be made new. Because we're too broken to fix, he had to make us new again. Jesus said, in effect, I'm not asking you to turn over a new leaf. I'm offering to give you something better than that. New life. And the Bible teaches us that this new life was grafted into us, just like the orange trees down in South Texas. And we have been made brand new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. Praise God. But the problem is, the problem that we run into at this point is that old lingering, sinful old nature. That bitter root of our old sinful selves that's just too stubborn to go away. Anybody ever have a problem with that? Anyway? Okay, four people. All right. And many believers, some at this point along the way, find themselves asking, well, if I'm this new creation, why am I not acting new? You know? You ever look at someone and say, well, they don't look like they don't look new. Huh? You ever looked in the mirror? Say, that don't look too new right there. Why am I still acting like the old me if he's grafted his nature into me? That's the struggle we all face. Watchman Nee said in one of his books, he said, anyone who serves God will discover sooner or later that the greatest hindrance to his work is not others, but himself. There's a lot of truth to that. In order to fully realize our potential as a new creation in Christ, we got to nurture this new life in the same way you would nurture a budding tree or growing child. And I tell you, our corn at the house stood up in the garden from that rain, huh? Man, that was nurturing. The good Lord sent that just in time. But if it hadn't come, it'd been bad. Yeah. It's an essential step in this process is to make it a point each day, throughout the day, every day, to set your mind on what the Spirit desires and then let go of your ego and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Every time we yield ourselves to Him, we're nurturing the new life. And that's the big step that we must take. And we need to take it often. We need to take it every day. You know, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within and He grafts a new life into your spirit. And this doesn't represent the end of the process. It represents the beginning. And you no doubt see changes take place in your life right away, but the most profound changes take place over a course of time as God conforms us into the image of His Son. Some people latch on to a life of victory early in their Christian life than others do. And that's great. If you happen to be among this group, man, you're living in victory. And I mean, it's hallelujah time. But unfortunately, most others continue to struggle, like the Apostle Paul. Even after they've been on this journey for many years and many decades, they ask themselves, why can't I be as good as I want to be? Why can't I do the good that I want to do? Why can't I abandon the sins that I despise? So today's message, or for those that are in this process, you've received new life, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You know what you want to be. You know you want to be holy. You know you want to do good. You know you want to be like Christ. And you know what you don't want to be. You don't want to be that person you were, sinful and selfish and disobedient and jealous. You don't want to be that person. But leaving him or her behind hasn't been as easy as what you hoped it would be. Anybody ever struggled with this? Three people. All right. Well, you three out there, this is for you. How about that? I want to talk just a few minutes about how to survive these seasons in this process. It's a process which seems to be so hard to come by, and just a few steps that we can take to ultimately experience victory. Today, let's look at three progress points. on the pathway to victory. Here's the first. In order to experience victory in the Christian life, number one, we've got to understand, you need to understand that your relationship with God is based solely upon mercy and always will be. Your relationship with God is based solely on mercy and will always be. It will never be based on anything else. He saved us, Titus 3:5 says. He saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness. He don't save us because we got it right a few times. But he saves us according to his own mercy. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. His mercy. In his book, Transforming Grace, Jerry Bridges talks about two different kinds of bankruptcies. There's chapter 7 and chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a temporary financial reorganization that keeps a company's creditors at bay until it can get back on its feet financially in hopes to continue to be a thriving business. Chapter 11 is based on a temporary reorganization. On the other hand, chapter 7 is a total and complete erasure of all debts with no further requirement to repay. And nearly always leads to the company being dissolved. Here's how this compares to the Christian life. Becoming a Christian is a chapter 7 experience, but many believers treat it like a chapter 11. Many times we have the mistake of thinking that the forgiveness received at salvation is just a temporary reorganization of the mess that we've made in our lives, providing enough relief to last until we're able to live in our own strength and our own goodness. But that's not the way it works. We're saved by grace, and we live by grace. And grace, by the way, is synonymous with mercy. You will never get to the point where you don't need God's grace and you don't need God's mercy. It will forever and ever be your lifeline. Over the years, I've observed that Christians who don't rely exclusively on God's grace to sustain them are the same Christians that don't really take sin serious. They may take some sins seriously, the big sins, the visible sins, the sins that other people commit, but they often lapse into a pattern in which they don't take seriously their own sin, because after all, their own sins are small in comparison to their sin, and they think that they can deal with their own sins on their own, and they think that, thanks to God's reorganization plan, they'll eventually get to the place where they're living at a high enough level that begging for mercy is no longer an option. Listen, it'll never happen. Your relationship with God is always about mercy. You will never get past the need for God's grace and His mercy. If you don't get that one right, you're beginning wrong. And when you begin wrong, you end wrong. All right. Number two, on the progress point. And we want to progress, don't we? Amen. Can we all agree on that? Amen. Amen. We want to progress on the path to victory. The second thing I think we need to learn is you will learn to despair of your sin before you have the power to defeat your sin. I'll explain that. You will learn to despair of your sin before you have the power to defeat your sin. I've been preaching God's grace for a long time, as long as I've been preaching, and forgiveness is ours unequivocally through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He's the only way. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. And that's what John the Baptist said when he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. As Jesus was beginning his public ministry, he looked and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus paid the price on the cross for your sin, past, present, and future. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin you'll ever commit, it's already been paid for. It's done. It's finished. It is finished. Jesus himself said that. It is finished. Now, there are some who, when they hear a statement like this, they'll say, "Well, if I'm already forgiven for my past sins, my present sins, my future sins, so what's to stop me from sinning all I want? Just cash in on that forgiveness ticket." I know y'all never thought that, right? You know, not everybody says that. But some people think it. You know, some people say it. Some people live by it. And if you've ever been inclined to say it, you won't say it long, and here's why. Sin knows how to do only one thing. And it can only accomplish, sin can only accomplish one thing. It only knows how to destroy. And it doesn't know when to let up. And it doesn't let up. And it never ends well for anyone. I mean, no one ever says, when I started abusing drugs, well, that's when the pieces of my life started coming together. Or nobody ever says, you know, when I began backbiting and criticizing and gossiping about my friends and everybody in the neighborhood, you know, that's when all my relationships begin to flourish. No. I mean, nobody ever says, you know, when I begin to abuse my wife and betray my wife and neglect my family and just live only for old Joe, you know, suddenly that's when our family got happier. I mean, we've never been that happy before. That's not how it works. I mean, now these are examples of the big sins, right? The visible sins. But the same is true for the quiet little sins we try to hide. Sin never makes any situation better. Can we get amen on that? Sin never makes any situation better. We should never try to defend it or excuse it. It never makes anything better. It only knows how to destroy. The Bible says that Satan comes to seek to destroy, and he never stops. And the sooner we come to grips with this fact, that sin can never be anything but destructive, the sooner we'll find ourselves on the path to victory. The person that says, "Because of God's grace, I sin all I want," they're headed for some serious heartbreak and heartache. But the person who says, "You know, because of God's grace, I sin more than I want," I think that person is seriously on the road to recovery and ultimate victory. I want to make it clear this is not about wallowing in guilt and shame for years and years after you commit a sin. It is about, however, coming to a point where you recognize sin for what it is. And Paul covered this in depth in Romans 7 about how sin is utterly sinful. And as a result, you want nothing to do with it because you know it can only hurt you and hurt those around you. During the course of a baseball season, it's not unheard of for the worst team in the league to beat the best team in the league. You ever seen that happen? Yeah, it happens about every season. And the question is, how do the World Series champions respond after they're beat by the worst team in the league? Do they shrug it off? as just one game out of 160, it's no big deal. We got 159 more to go. Or do they say, you know what, we got to fix this. We got to fix this mistake, these mistakes. We don't want this to happen again, because that's not what it's all about. The answer, of course, is option B. They take it seriously because they don't want their season to be defined by their losses. And then they go out and they fix it and they play the next game to the best of their ability. To an extent, this is the attitude we need to have towards our own wins and losses. We take each loss, each failure, seriously because we know what it means and we know where it leads. Our response to sin is never, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just a minor thing. I just lost my temper and I told him off and flipped him off and I insulted the guy. I put him in his place, you know. No big deal. No, that's not the way it is. Our response is, I don't want this attitude, I don't want this behavior to define my life. My life is to be defined by Jesus and not my sins. So I'm going to try again as many times as I have to try again, and I'm to get this right with God's help and His mercy and His grace. When you begin to despair of the sin in your life, to take it seriously, you're well on your way to victory. This brings us to the third point of progress I want to mention. The journey just doesn't end when we despair over our sins. God wants us to experience victory, and He wants us to be overcomers, and he wants us to be more than conquerors, huh? Isn't that good? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So how does that happen? Here's the third point. Your new life in Christ begins again every single day. Your new life begins in Christ every single day. Jeremiah said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. There are two words here you can take very serious. There are two words here upon which you can build your life and your relationship with God. The first word is never. As in, God's love never ceases. Ours does, don't it? Sometimes our loving just ain't too good, huh? Right? Sometimes we just can't seem to find a little mercy, can we? Sometimes, you know, it's like, grace, what's grace? But the Lord, our God, His love never ceases. Man, that's good, isn't it? He'll never stop loving you. God will never be unfaithful to you. God will never abandon you. Huh? Man, that's good. Never. You can count on this word never. It's God's word. Many times it's not our word, but it's God's word, never. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. God's mercy never comes to an end. No matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times you sin against God, no matter how many times you take for granted God's mercy and His love, no matter how many times you fail or how many times you fall, there might be people in your life who'll give up on you. The church may give up on you. Your neighbors may give up on you. The government may give up on you. But God will never give up on you. Amen? God will never stop loving you. God will never stop forgiving you. You can count on the word never, glory to God. Never. Say never.
Never.
Never. God will never give up. And there's another word here. You can count on the word every. Every, E-V-E-R-Y, every, as in new every morning, huh? Not just when you feel like it, huh? You ever get up and just don't feel like being around somebody, huh? You ever got up and just didn't feel like forgiving somebody? You ever got up and just really didn't feel like loving somebody? Nobody? I tell you, encounter this word every, as in new every morning. He has promised that every day is a brand new start. Isn't that good? I mean, how quick are we not to give somebody a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance, or a fifth chance? Every day is a new day, a brand new start with God. You know what this means? It means you can begin each day new, each new day right with God. No matter what happened yesterday, His mercies are brand new. You can start again today, every day. I knew a person who was feeling quite discouraged because they hadn't been able to establish a lasting change for good in their life. They kept making temporary short-term challenges, but none of them would stick. And during a conversation one time, I realized something. How long does lasting change really last? You ever thought about that? How long does lasting change really last? And it came to me that lasting change really lasts only one day. And then you got to do it again the next day. Right? You ever heard that song, One Day at a Time? I mean, I heard that song as a little boy, and I said, that's the dumbest song I've ever heard. Huh? But the more I understand God's mercy and His grace, I mean, that's a good song. One day at a time. And this is the reason this phrase keeps coming around, is because this is the only way you can live the Christian life, is one day at a time. I mean, if you want to create lasting change, that change will take place one day at a time. If you want to create lasting change in your marriage or your health or your finances or your church or your business, you make these changes one at a time and one day at a time. And here's the good news. Here's the great news. God has said, in effect, I will give you a huge head start every day of your life from here on out. I will love you forever, and I will never stop loving you, and you can count on my love every single day, and I will shower you with mercy, and I will shower you with grace and forgiveness every single day of your life, and you can begin every day right with me. You can count on my mercy. You can count on my grace. You can count on my faithfulness every day and forever. You can experience it brand new. Brand new. He don't give us no wore out stuff. It's brand new every day of our lives. Isn't that good? To nurture this new life in Christ, this is the conclusion. We'll finish up. This is how we do it. We live out the Christian life one day at a time. And we're renewed. Praise God. We are renewed. We are made new. We're renewed every day, one day at a time. And we seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit one day at a time. Not just one time, but one day at a time. Every day. And we do it day after day after day. There are two days that mean nothing at all to anyone who wants to live a holy life in Christ. 2 days. You know what those 2 days are? Yesterday and tomorrow. All that matters is today. I mean, if we don't get it right today, we probably won't get it right tomorrow, will we? We get it right today. And when tomorrow comes, we'll get it right tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a brand new day. God has given us a huge head start on today through the power of two words. Never, I'll never stop loving you. I'll never hold back my mercy. And every, as in every morning, is a brand new day. And you can begin it right with me. It's another chance to nurture the life that I've given you to become the person I've created to be. Beloved, never forget that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And listen, church, this changes everything. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, we're so glad it's eternal, because what it meant thousands of years ago, it means it today and will mean it forever. Thank you for your spirit you've placed within us. Help us each day to nurture that and do our part, because we know you're going to do yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand as we sing our closing hymn, 393, verses 1, 2, and 4. Breathe on me, breath of God. 393. Thanks for coming. If you're visiting, we are glad to have you and encourage you to come back, bring someone with you. Remember the announcements. Anybody have anything to say about any announcements or anything? Joella still needs help. I didn't see anybody get up and go over to her during worship. All right. And see Melissa if you can help with Bible school. Anything else? Father, it's been good to be here in the presence your spirit and the presence of your people. We pray for one another that every day will be a new day. We'll be reminded of your grace and your mercy, and we'll live as your children. Bless us, protect us from evil, from ourselves, from our sins, and strengthen us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.